The Vox Markets Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andrew Bell, chairman of Red Rock Resources. RRR is ticker there. Andrew, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Now, before we get into some news you've recently released or things that are upcoming, for people not familiar with Red Rock, just explain what you're about there, Andrew, if you could.
We're a mineral exploration and production company. I think we want to be different from normal AIM explorers in that we don't have assets that we don't think can be put in production. We don't have assets that we don't think have potential scale. We are very focused on that. We are not in the business of promotion. We're in the business of doing serious things. That, of course, has not been a port in a storm in the last two or three years when the AIM index has come down, I think, 50% in 2 years, which means that probably 80% or more of companies, particularly in the resource sector, are not just down, but substantially down. 50% of them are probably completely almost wiped out. So it's been and I don't think where we are, which is looking quite long-term at things, has been insulated from that, but changing now, and a lot changing in the next year.
Yeah, it has been a tough market, like you say, from, you know, all companies. I mean, it's a long bear market, over 2 years. And generally, when this has happened previously, a great financial crash, dot-com bubble, for example, the market has experienced a heck of a rally the following years. So do you think that's going to happen? What's the catalyst for resource companies, Andrew? What's, you know, suppressing the share price, and what will alleviate that, do you think, going forward?
Well, catalyst, or whether it's catnip, I think the gold price going up through previous highs in US dollar terms will start to make a substantial difference, potentially, because if gold breaks out and goes up, and there's every reason why gold should, that is one thing that can act as a catalyst for the whole sector. So that's something that looks as if it could be imminent.
Yeah.
But overall, there may be some other things that are specific to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Touching on some news then. You recently released, just end of last month, news about West African gold licenses. Take us through that detail, if you could, Andrew.
Yes, I think back 2 or 3 years ago, we applied for some licenses in Burkina Faso and Côte d'Ivoire, and we were progressing with them. But as you know, we had various things. I think we had lockdowns, and then we had the normal slow process of getting things granted in Ivory Coast, where things have to be signed off by the president. And then we had one or two military coups in Burkina Faso that some people were worried about. Though life carries on with military coups in Burkina Faso. That doesn't seem to affect business in any way. So it's only now that these things are beginning to be, I think, particularly because their gold projects are beginning to attract some interest. We did some drilling in Burkina Faso, and I think we drilled 6 or 7 holes, and this was when we took over the license. The people hadn't done much work, so we needed to impress people in the ministry that we were doing stuff. So we went in and drilled without an awful lot of preparatory work. One of our holes got over 20 meters at 3 grams from almost from surface. And so that was good, but all of our holes, I think, got some gold indications and some reasonable grade. Well, now we've taken a step back, and we're bringing in, flying in the next days, in fact, before Christmas, some geologists who are going to be looking at things there, and we've got a grid over 3 areas, and we are therefore going to progress, and we're looking in particular at areas with colluvial gold, as well as the hard rock, and we should have, you know, 2 or 3 teams there, a couple looking at the hard rock and one looking at the colluvial, and we think we can get some trial production going quite early next year. We're going to ship an auger out there, we then will be going through the environmentals and try to get sort of semi-mechanized production by, I would hope, within a number of months after that. So we're going to go full on to get gold production going there as well. So with our lithium production export in Zimbabwe and gold production from Burkina Faso, we hope that in a few months we will look like a company with pretty regular income.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, I should have mentioned Ivory Coast. Yeah. That's been very slow, but we have, of our four licenses around the capital, Yamoussoukro, two have been granted. Those are fantastic, terrific, incredible licenses. I mean, they're twice the size of those, the Burkina Faso ones, which are 150, 200 square kilometres. These are 300 square kilometres plus. And we've got two out of four granted, and the other two I think we'll get. And then we have a great position in what are really established belts with existing mines and near Yamoussoukro. And that's where the main activity, main mines have been. And it's always good to be operating in an area where there's some experience of other operators, because you can learn from that. So I think that our portfolio in Ivory Coast is, again, fantastic. We haven't got anything that is quite as advanced in terms of knowledge and having been drilled by us as this first license in Burkina Faso. But the subsidiary in Burkina Faso, the subsidiary in Ivory Coast, I hope if the gold price goes up, we'll be able to do a lot more with them.
Yeah. And anything else happening? I mean, you obviously, I know you're involved in lithium as well. Explain what's happening there, Andrew.
Yes. Yeah, well, we decided that we were going to... We want to control our environment, which is why we want to have revenues. And we want to control our environment with lithium, which is why we don't want to be selling in Harare. We want to be controlling the pipeline all the way through to China, having stuff in a pipe in a warehouse in China and being able to sell it spot there. We think this is how we get our margin reliably. And we're quite willing to work for small margins to do that, but as long as they're secure margins. So we had to finance the whole of that pipeline. And we've done it. You know, that money has gone in. And the first shipments, well, left Zimbabwe and will shortly be on a boat to China. And, you know, for that, we have to have a consignee in China. And then we will have a notified party, which will be our company somewhere offshore. At the moment, we're looking at probably Hong Kong. And then, you know, we get a pipeline established. And as we get it established, we will expand what we put through that pipeline. But again, you know, that's initially an investment, but it's cash flow quite quickly because it takes what? I mean, once you put it on a boat, is it 60 days to China?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay, marvellous stuff. And anything else of note, Andrew, going on? I mean, you know, wider markets?
Yes. Yes, I mean, we've got things, you know, happening in gold in Kenya and Australia. I can't talk about everything just at the moment. I mean, we've given a little bit of attention to West Africa because we had to renew one or two licenses, make one or two payments there, and look at how quickly, because that's where if we can bring things into production, quickly, yeah, that's where it will be. So we gave that a bit of a focus. But we also, of course, in the Congo, have our long-running issue where we are getting an arbitration award, and that should be issued at any time, really at any moment. And what we're expecting there is to get a minimum $7.5 million gross, and we could be able to collect another $2.5 million there. And that's just the first installment in a process of, I think, reclaiming what was stolen from us. I just say, what's this space in relation to that? It's been slow, and that's because, you know, in Congo things can be slow and there are vested interests that tried to stop us, but we just carried on and proceeded. And I think, you know, that is something which, when we've done it, people will say no one else could have done that.
Yeah. And is there any indication of a timeline on that, on a judgment?
If you had asked me a month ago, I'd have said tomorrow. If you had asked me a week ago, I'd have said tomorrow. If you asked me today, I'll say today. But we're all probably wrong. I know that there will be a desire to get this done before Christmas and to get this out of the way before people go off on holiday. And that desire is not confined just to us, but to some of the others, you know, people who are involved. And we'll see whether we can do that. I make multiple calls on it every day, but you know, I have a lot of things going on at the moment. We are also just doing our audit and worked with one thing and another. I was looking at my emails yesterday after the spam gets filtered out and after I delete a few. It's more than 200. Some of them asking for, you know, action to be taken on this or answer these questions. And I think people out in the market there who see the performance of AIM stocks over the last year or two don't realize how paperwork intensive being listed is, and how even when things aren't going up, a lot of work is done. And of course, it's that work done and that preparation that means that when things turn and the opportunities are there to expand, one should be in a position to capitalize on those conditions. And this happened to us once before in 2010, where there was a favorable, a good gold market, and we got a very substantial increase, many tens of times increase in our stock price in a relatively short period, because we were able to capitalize on things happening at that time. This is what we want to see now. And this time, we want to make sure that we end up with production on revenues and a lot of cash on our balance sheet. But if things work out the way they're intended to, and I think there's a good chance, a really good chance, we're confident that they will, then in a few months' time, we'll be a transformed company, because we'll be sitting on cash. We'll have some substantial claims that we're continuing to process, and we will be getting revenues.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, excellent stuff. And on that note, if you could, Andrew, for people listening right now, not following the story, but I like the sound of it, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add Red Rock Resources to their watch list, please.
Well, since Algie Clough, I mean, who has been doing things in Burkina Faso, West Africa, from the UK? I think we are pretty much out on our own in those markets. We are, and if you're doing gold, those are really good places to be exploring at the moment in the West African gold belts, because Ghana has been exploited, but this is fairly new in Burkina Faso and Ivory Coast. So, you know, we're in those West African countries that other people aren't. We have the opportunities there, and we know how to do things. We know how to operate in the French language. In what's one of the world's richest mineral countries, Congo, we will have proved, I believe, that we can operate successfully there without having, you know, bad experiences. And again, that's a terrific opportunity. And then, you know, in Zimbabwe, and here I'm not looking at our other interests, I'm just focusing on these three. And in Zimbabwe, we have a model for selling lithium that actually works and doesn't expose us to large capital risks and risk of loss. So if we put those together, you can say that in countries, some of which are difficult, and this is putting the three reasons together, the countries, some of which can be difficult, we are the people who specialize in doing that and doing it well. And if we have even the slightest following wind, the opportunities, therefore, for us are much greater than for other people. We're quite highly geared to Africa and getting things right in Africa. And the appetite for that may not be so high when market conditions are bad, but as soon as people begin to look more than two or three steps ahead, I think that can be a very attractive proposition.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous stuff. Andrew, good to chat to you, and hopefully we catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.